Good morning. It's good to see all of you today. Lots of visitors from out of town. Lots of families that are getting together. It's a beautiful time to hang out. I see people from way north near Ukiah. I see people from PUC, from Loma Linda, from Merced, all over the place. And it's good to have you with us today. We hope that this time that we spend together is a beautiful time. I hope you've had a wonderful time with family. It's been really great for us. Yesterday, I got to stand almost on my head, but from within a car. I got to go rock crawling with Pastor Steve yesterday. I hadn't done that ever before, and that was my first time. And my son Andrew is up visiting, and we just had a great time. Broke Andrew's drive line on his rock crawler, and just had a lot of fun. It was really, really exciting. And my niece Amber is up from Loma Linda, and we had a lot of fun. She got to ride in one of the cars, and my wife was the wise observer that walked alongside. She rode in it for a little while, and that was enough. It was kind of exciting. So I just want to encourage all the ladies that want to go to women's retreat. If you want to go to women's retreat, you better sign up now because it's filling up quick. So I want to encourage you to get a hold of Pat Curtis and sign up. And also, I want to. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow evening. It's kind of a church social, but it's going to be up at Wawona, and it's put on by Camp Wawona. It starts it's on Sunday, December 9th, and it starts at 5 o'clock and goes from 5 to 8. And they ask that you bring your favorite Christmas dessert if you'd like to come. So, and if you need a ride up, there'll be a lot of people going up from here. So just call around and you'll find someone to ride with if you need a ride. And hopefully it'll be good weather so we can get up there. But it's also, they invite everybody from the little community of Wawona to come together. It's kind of a big community effort to just to be friends with people in the community. So I just want to encourage you to be a part of that in a couple of weeks. And there'll be more information on that next week. And Pastor Steve has the day off. Yesterday he told me, he says, this will be the first week this year that I haven't preached. So he and his family are going to be spending some time together. And so Sonia is going to be sharing with us today from God's Word, and we're really thankful that she could be a part of our church. Sonia is one of our teachers at the school, and she's also a half-time teacher and half-time Bible worker for our church. So we're glad that she can share with us today. I'd just like to take an opportunity this morning for a few minutes for someone, if you'd like to share something that you're thankful for today, seeing it's Thanksgiving weekend. Is there anybody that would like to share something that they're especially thankful for this morning? Just raise your hand if you do. Oh, come on. Nobody's thankful today. All right. Charlie can be first.
Well, I was just thankful that this weekend we were able to go down to Redlands to visit with our daughter and her family. And there was about 18 people for Thanksgiving dinner, so we had a good time with a lot of friends and relatives, and we're glad that we were had a safe trip going and coming. Thank you.
All right. Someone else want to raise their hand? Just go ahead and just talk it out.
My father will be back here at church next week, Tom Kildare. His hip operation went good. Everything has gone correctly, and he just wishes to be back with everybody here at church.
All right.
Yeah, I'm great. I have my gratitude list is huge today. I'm grateful to be alive today. Oh, is it close enough? Okay. My gratitude list would be really big today. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to be baptized and to be a Christian and get the opportunity to share Jesus Christ today. It's really, really amazing. God's touching my heart in ways I can't even express except to do what he wants me to do. So thank you, everybody. Love you guys.
All right. Someone else this morning. Somebody else want to share?
I'm just thankful to be here. God's given me life for another day, and he picked the Sabbath day to give me life. And Holy Spirit impressed me to get to Sabbath school this morning, and that was good.
All right.
Thank you.
Good. Someone else this morning.
Evelyn. I hope I can talk. I'm so thankful. God has been so good. And I've had so many nice things happening. I just don't know how to express myself. But I thank each of you for your love.
All right. Thank you.
I thank the Lord for that I'm still alive. With all my disease I have, and they finally got the right medicine for me, and I can do things. I can still install satellite dishes and make people happy. I'm grateful for that.
Someone else this morning want to share?
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. We're a visitor here, and I'm thankful for my mother-in-law here and father-in-law, and also my daughter who got special needs. She got a brain surgery 3.5 years ago, and I'm thankful that her seizures and bad behavior was all under control with this medication right now. And thank you. God is really good.
I'm so thankful that there are so many people that we've been praying for that are doing well right now. Art Daglish is home. We don't have anybody in the hospital, to my knowledge, right now. Helen is doing well as she takes care of him. She's gotten the help that she needs. Tom is coming home soon. You know, they're just, I look at Hines, and he's a walking miracle, and his daughter, Denise. We just have so many things to be thankful for. God is so good to us. And I'm just thankful for each one of you, especially for those who pray.
I'm thankful that my grandson Matthew from Sacramento can be here with us. My granddaughter Jessica from Loma Linda with 3 of her friends from Loma Linda. It's been wonderful to have.
It's great to have family visit, isn't it?
Well, I'm thankful that I had the privilege of being Cradle Roll teacher. And why? If you'd come into that class and see all these little souls, boys and girls, just singing with their hearts, and they'll share a story now and then and kind of surprises you, makes it just gives you that little giggle inside. And I'm just thankful for all the moms and dads and grandma and grandpas and aunties and uncles that bring these little kids. You take time to get them breakfast, get them dressed, and get them here by 9:45, and I appreciate it.
Chris, right next to you there.
Didn't make it last Sabbath, you know, to do this thankful announcement, but I want to thank the church for the lovely memorial service for my father that was 2 weeks ago. I really was impressed at how everyone came together and how it all turned out. And my mother, was quite pleased with the way it all went down. Thank you, church.
All right. Anyone else? All right, let's just bow our heads for just a moment and ask God to speak to us through his worship hour this morning. Lord Jesus, this morning we want to thank you for another day of life. We want to thank you for each and every person that's here, and thank you for speaking to our hearts each day. Lord, as we open our hearts to you this morning and just offer praise for being our Creator and our Savior, we just pray that you would speak to our spirit, speak to our hearts through your Spirit, and help us to understand more of your love for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our offering this morning is for conference phase advance, and the deacons will stand. And we thank God that we have Camp Awona real close by. It's good to see you guys from Camp Awona today. And we pray Lord's blessings on you today also. Lord Jesus, this morning as we give back for all the blessings that you've given to us, we're thankful that we can be a part in sharing your love around the world. And we ask that you would use these offerings for that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, it's kids' time. Come on up. Miss Sonia has a special story for you. Come right up here with me. Ryan, come up here. Right up here. Right up here, and you can sit. Woohoo!
Hey, Mom. Oh, guys, I miss seeing at least two of you every day. I miss the whole vacation. Did you guys miss me? Really quick? Brown, good points now. Say yes. Yes, we missed you. Evie, I didn't hear you say anything. Well, happy Sabbath. Oh, good, there's still more. If any of you adults want to come up, feel free. We're reading a book. Going to be good. Can't see the pictures if you're over there. Well, happy Sabbath. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Good. And you all are really ready to go back to school, right?
Yeah.
Good. A for JJ. Well, I am going to read you guys one of my favorite stories from my Bible friends. Do you guys, have you ever seen these books? It's okay. Not everyone has. If you have and you know what happens, don't say anything. It'll ruin the surprise, okay?
I've seen that.
You've seen it? Good. But don't tell anyone what happens. I know you have, JJ, because we read it in class the other day. Okay, so I'm going to read it, and I'm going to show you the pictures, but you have to be really quiet, okay? Can you all see? If you need to scoot closer this way, you can, if you have bad eyes or something. It says, the boys of Prophet Elisha's school crowded closer together. Here, I'll go like this. Crowded closer together on their benches, trying to make room for the new pupils. But it was no use. There just wasn't room. The boy with the red coat, this kid right here, we'll call Jared. Barefoot, Jared had walked many miles that he might attend Prophet Elisha's school, where boys were taught to be teachers for God. But alas, the schoolhouse was far too small. Would Jared and the new pupils have to go home? Find out. When school let out, the boys talked together. What could they do about their too small school? One of the boys pointed toward the River Jordan. Let's take our axes and go to the river, he said, and cut down trees to build a bigger school. That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Well, that's a good idea, said an older boy. Let's ask Prophet Elisha to go with us. The other boys agreed, but Jared hung his Could you not borrow an axe? Asked the older boy. So Jared went to a neighbor's house and asked if he might borrow an axe. You may borrow my axe, said the neighbor, if you will take good care of it. Oh, I will take good care of your axe, Jared promised. I will take very good care of it. See, there he is borrowing the axe. The axe right there. Can you all see the pictures? Are you interested still? It'll get better, trust me. The best part's coming up. One morning, when the sun was half up, the boys shouldered their axes and walked with Prophet Elisha down the trail to the River Jordan. The river wound in and out, in and out, in and out, like a snake wiggling through the valley. Here and there on its banks were groves of trees, tall trees, short trees, crooked trees, and trees that were straight. Okay, here it comes. Wait for it, guys. Here comes the best part. Each boy chose a tree to cut down. Jared chose one near the river's edge. He swung the borrowed axe and made a cut again and again and again. He swung his axe with all his might. Pitchy, piney chips flew this way and that. Then suddenly, without warning, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think the tree's going to fall down?
No.
No, the axe head flew off of the axe handle. A plop, a splash, it sank out of sight. Jared looked where the axe head had fallen, but the water was too muddy to see it and too deep to wade in and feel for it. Alas, master, it was borrowed, he cried to Prophet Elisha. Where did it fall? Prophet Elisha asked. Jared showed him the place. Prophet Elisha cut down a stick. Then, asking God for help, he threw the stick into the river where the axe head had fallen. The boy watched to see what would happen. And they watched. And then, up, 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 through the muddy water, rose the axe head. Up, 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 to the surface of the water. And there it floated beside the stick, like a toy boat on the river. Take it up, said Prophet Elisha. And joyfully, Jared splashed in after it and picked it up and finished cutting down his tree. Now, how many of you know what an axe is? Yeah, right. This. Now, who's the smallest of them all besides the one who doesn't know how to speak? Okay, do you want to help me? Can you pick this up for me? Can you pick it up really high? Is it really heavy? Whoa, don't swing it. Okay. How about, don't pick it up like that. Pick it up like this. Danger, safety first. So, was it heavy? Was it heavy? Okay. JJ, do you want to try picking it up? Just leave it like this and go up. Is that kind of heavy?
No.
Okay. One in every crowd. Now, what about my paper boat? Is this very heavy?
No.
I named it the SS Sonya. Is it very heavy?
No.
No. Do you think he could pick it up?
Yeah. When,
can you pick it up for me? Here you go. No. Ah, see, he's strong. He can pick it up, right? So, he's like, yes. So do you think this could float on water?
Yeah.
A paper boat can. You just put it right there, and it floats around, right?
Yeah.
Now, this axe, do you think this can float on water? No. And that's what makes this story so amazing. This guy was chopping, and it fell. Kerplunk. That sounded really heavy, didn't it? Yeah. And it fell into the river. And then Elisha throws in the stick, and all of a sudden, and he goes home, and he finishes making that school. Doesn't that sound like God is amazing? And God can do miracles? Because do you think you could make this float? I certainly couldn't make it float. Right, unless you hold it up. I have enough trouble floating myself. So, I want you guys to remember this story. And when he does amazing things, what should we do afterwards? We should thank him, right? All right, well, let's pray, and we can thank God for doing amazing things. Dear God, thank you so much for doing amazing things and for making an axe head float so you could be glorified. Please help us to remember that always. In your name, amen. Hey, if you guys want to take a basket and pick up the little lamb's offering. Remember, look the adults in the eyes. Look them in the eyes.
I want to invite you to kneel with me as we pray. Lord, as I look at that picture of Yosemite today with the beautiful waterfall, I just remember being on the top and looking over the edge and just the excitement and exhilaration that just filled me up that day I was there. And I just pray, Lord, that the water of life from your word would fill us up today, that we would just be exhilarated by your love and your power through your word, that you would just show us how incredibly magnificent and wonderful you are and what you want to do in our lives. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we know that we have just, Lord, we've messed up this week. I know I have messed up anyway, and I just want to come to you and thank you for your forgiveness and for giving us new opportunities and new life. And I just ask that you would cleanse us, Lord, each and every one of us from any unrighteousness in our lives, and that you would fill us with your Spirit today. And Lord, speak to our hearts in a kind and tender way and give us a vision of service for other people. Lord, show us what we can do to share your love around our neighborhood and around this world. And Lord, it's not a big thing, but we need it's not a big thing what we do, but we need your strength in everything that we do. And I just ask that for the people that are in this sanctuary, Lord, that have come here because they believe in your name and because they believe that you want to use them in your service, that I just pray, Lord, that you would give them special spiritual vision today to know what you would have them do this week. Lord, there's something special for each one of us this week to share your love with someone else. And I just ask that you would help us to know what that is. And Lord, especially this morning, I want to pray for Sonia, that you would just really just power her up, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, through your strength that she shares with us from your word. Lord, speak to our hearts through that word today as it's implanted in the soil of our hearts today, Lord. I just pray that you would speak to us and that you would graft your word into our hearts so that we will become your people and will do your wonderful deeds. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. And I'm thankful for breath. I'm thankful for sight. I can taste. I'm thankful that I can hold hands with my wife. I'm thankful that I can give my son a hug. I'm just thankful for everything that you've done for us. And I just pray that you would give us a heart of gratitude today that is like none other, so that when we go out of this place, people will know that we have been blessed. And thank you, Lord, for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Happy Sabbath. This church is really full. I mean, not the first, two rows, but all the rest of the rows are really full. It's good to see it so full. Happy Thanksgiving. One of the best holidays ever. And I think it's the best holiday ever because it's a blending of cultures, so it doesn't matter really what you eat, as long as it's a blending of cultures and a blending of people, whether it's families coming together or friends and families coming together and just all that stuff. And it's one of those times. Okay, really quick, I'm an optimist. No doubt about it, I'm an optimist. I'll always be an optimist. And that's why Thanksgiving's the best holiday, because everybody has to be optimistic. You have to be thankful for, everything, for the simple things, and you have to be thankful for the big things, because that's what the holiday is all about. And so that's why it's my favorite holiday. One of them, anyways. Not only am I optimistic, but I like everything. So it's kind of confusing. So I don't know if it's your favorite holiday or not, but I hope it is. And you can pretend it is when you talk to me later, and we can just get excited about Thanksgiving together. And I hope you had lots of good food. I had a turkey taco thing, where you take the white roll of veggie meat and you slice it and you put some stuffing in it and gravy. It's so good. I hadn't had that in forever because I hadn't been in America for Thanksgiving for a while, so it was good to be in America for Thanksgiving. And I would love to hear what you had for lunch, just because, again, let's talk about Thanksgiving. Okay, enough about Thanksgiving then, before you all are just like, all right, really. Okay, so let's have prayer before we get started. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to share with my church and to share with a community of believers who worship you and are thankful to you and owe so very much in our lives to you, God. Please open up our hearts and speak through me. Silence the chatter that is within us and the cell phones and the thoughts that are racing. Just silence everything so right now we can just come before your throne and hear what you have to say to us this morning. Thank you so much, God. Amen. Let's read in 2 Kings. When First of all, how many of you think you know what the sermon's going to be about just based upon children's story? Anybody? Good. Good answer there. Floating axe head. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And when you have it in your Bible, just say amen. Or when you read it on the screen, say amen. And then I'll know you're all there, and I can start reading. Thank you. The company of prophets said to Elisha, really quick, Elisha, Elijah, figured out the best way to remember the difference between the two because it's so confusing. In the alphabet, J comes before S. So Elijah came before Elisha. So confusing otherwise. Okay. The company of prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole and let us build a place there for us to meet. And he said, go. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh no, my lord, he cried out, it was borrowed. Then the man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Ah, that's such a good story. Okay, so when we're going to do this morning is we just read the word and we're going to kind of just meditate on that, and I'm going to retell the story, adding in some more characteristics so we can help identify better with the story. And then we're going to apply it to our own lives. So now you know the lineup that's going to happen. Okay, so let's talk about this story. There is a building where they go to learn about God. And if you look back in the previous chapters, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on for God. Naaman is healed from leprosy. There's a bajillion people fed. There's the whole pot of stew that was death, and then it wasn't death. And then all these things. So there's been a revival. Maybe it's been an all about God kind of seminar week. And so these people, they're anxious to start learning about God. And they're excited to start learning about God. And they have so many things that they want to share with people about God. And so they're all coming to school. And they're all learning. And they're all in there. But it's really tight. First of all, can we just say that would be an amazing thing to have happen? Your school is too small. Praise God, would that not be amazing if our school was too small? So they're excited. This is a good thing. Their building is too small. And they're like, I don't have any room to breathe, let alone write on my scroll. My elbow keeps hitting Peter or whoever was around in other Bible names. There's just no room in the school. So they're like, I've got an idea. It's not that brilliant of an idea, but let's expand. Let's make our school bigger. So they're like, oh yeah, yeah, this is a good idea. Let's make the school bigger. So they're all really excited. It's kind of like the atmosphere of a mission trip. Our church takes a mission trip down to Honduras every year, and it's got that atmosphere like, oh, something is stirring, something is brewing, we're going to do big things, and they start getting ready to build this school. Maybe they go back to their home synagogue, and they're like, hey, so we've got this school we want to build, would you guys help donate? Or maybe they go to their neighbors, and they're like, hey, we're going to be building this school so we can have our revival in the land and we can all come back to God. Would you help donate? And there's this one guy. In that book, they called him Jared. I don't know if that's a super biblical name, but we'll use it, Jared. He doesn't have money. He doesn't have equipment. And in that time, iron wasn't something like everybody had. Not everybody had metal work. Because it took a lot to forge. You had to find it. You had to melt it. You had to smash it. You had to do all these things to it. So not everyone had it. So maybe, let's say Jared goes to his wealthy Jewish neighbor, and he knows that his neighbor hasn't been going to the temple as often as he should, and that he's kind of fallen away from God. And so he goes to him, and he's really excited because he's going to school, and God has been working in his life. And he says, excuse me, shalom, neighbor, can I borrow your axe? We're building a school. And in that process, he tells him, you know, about the school. He gives him the rundown. And, like, you know how it is when you're excited about something and it just kind of oozes out of you and other people catch on to it? Or maybe it's you've caught on to it and you get excited about it. Well, that's kind of what happened with Jared. He was asking for the axe, and his neighbor was getting excited. Oh, God is doing something. And it was rubbing off on him. And Jared was getting even more excited because he was an excitable person, and he was seeing how God was working. So he gets the axe, and he goes back to school. And they're there, and you can feel in the air the challenge that they have now to get this task done and to build this school. And so they go out, and they chop. And they measure, and they build. And every night when they come back together, they have a moment of, where did you see God today? How did God speak to you? And they have, in their worship time, they all share, you know, someone will stand up and say, oh, God revealed himself to me today when such and such a thing happened. And then the next morning, they get up and they go out and they're like, what is God going to do in my life today? And they're still, you know, that mission trip atmosphere. It's an adventure. There's new things. God is working. And so they're out there, and Jared's chopping, you know, and it's hard work to chop. I haven't chopped for very long, but what little I did chop, it was lots of hard work, and my shoulders were tired, and, you know, your mind has lots of time to just think, especially when you're trying to distract yourself from the pain of still chopping. And so maybe Jared is out there, and he's just like, oh, man, God is amazing. God healed Naaman recently, and that's not even one of our people, and he was an enemy, and he's really excited, and he's thinking about how the money is coming together for this school, and he's thinking about the neighbors and how his new friends are all excited about God as well. And while he's chopping and chopping, he's thinking about his neighbor. He's like, my neighbor is learning about God again, and he's going to come back to the synagogue. And he's going to go to sacrifice at the Passover. And he's really excited about what God is doing. And in his mind, he's like, thank you, God, for this opportunity. Thank you for this axe head that I can borrow. Thank you that I get to go to this school. And just imagine, as he swings back and then goes forward one more time, something changes. And he hears, whoop, and he freezes. Can you just imagine the terror that would come over him? Like, this axe probably cost a lot of money, and he doesn't have a lot of money, which is because he's at this school to learn about God, and he's given everything he has for this school and for his friends and family, and he freezes. And it's in this moment that terror is just like, oh, no. And maybe he just, like, stares down that spot where it fell in. And he's working tag team with someone else because, you know, you don't want to wander off in the woods with trees falling all over by yourself. So his buddy hears what happens, and he's a quick thinker. So his buddy's like, don't go anywhere. I'm going to go get Elisha. Stay right here. So that guy runs off to go get Elisha. And Jared just stands there. And he's frozen. And Jared has two choices at that moment to make. Two choices that will change everything. It will change his life, it will change his friend's life, and it will change his neighbor's life that he borrowed the axe from. One choice he has is he can let things creep in, like doubt. Oh no, God is not going to be able to help me with this. I'm never going to get this axe back. I don't have enough money. I'm going to have to become a servant or a slave to this man for the next 3 years until I can pay back this axe. Or I'm going to have to leave this school, and I'm going to have to go back home and work and work and work for this axe. And then he's wondering, his thoughts are, he's starting to worry, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to tell my neighbor? My neighbor was getting excited about God for the first time in his life, and now I've lost his axe. Or he's beginning to think, like, things aren't going to work out anymore. The school's going to just fail. Because once you get started, it just snowballs. You know how it is. And it can get bigger and bigger and bigger. And he's just watching everything go down the tube. And he's becoming, in our series, what we would call a mildew maker. A mildew maker. He's just letting the mildew and things just grow. That's one choice. So he could do that. He could let the worry and all those things just like join in and build and get heavy and thick. Or he can do the other thing. And then the other thing, he can trust. He can trust that God is going to do something grand to replace that axe, whether it's they will find an axe in the woods or Naaman will return an axe or something. He doesn't know, but he can trust. And he can remember the past. And he can remember how God saved David from Goliath. Or he can remember how God saved Isaac by sending a ram. Or he can remember how God has helped in the past and how it can apply to him too. He can remember these things. Or he can thank God and just be like, okay, I know my axe had just fell in the water and I have no idea how I'm going to get it back and it's really heavy and it's a really swift river and it's muddy, but I thank you, God, for the opportunity to reveal yourself in this moment. And by doing those things, he would be a mold breaker. He would be leaving behind what the world normally does and what our instinct is to do. He would be breaking out of that mold and stepping into the light, stepping into the faith of Jesus. And so he has those two choices right there. He can be a mildew maker or a mold breaker. And he's staring right ahead at the river. And he chooses. He chooses to go to the side and thank God and to trust God. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And it's that horrible time period where the incident has happened and it hasn't been resolved. It's kind of like the space between. And it's the worst place ever. And he's there. And he's there. And then he hears some people coming. And he hasn't stopped looking at that spot in the river because he's like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I am not taking my eyes off the river because that's where the axe head is. And that's the only hope I have right now. And Elisha comes and Elisha's like, what happened? They give him the little rundown. Elisha prays, cuts a stick from the tree. A stick. I don't even understand the reasoning in that. But he cuts a stick and he throws it in the river. And instantly, this axe head, iron axe head, floats to the top. And Jared, who's been staring at it and hasn't taken his eyes off of it, goes in, grabs it, sticks it back on his stick, and finishes chopping down the tree. That night, at worship time, when they all come together to say, oh, what has God done in your life today? There's a little bit of a buzz, an extra buzz that hasn't been there. And Jared stands up, and he shares his testimony. This is what happened, he says. God came through, and God was with me, and God helped me. Thank you, God. Thank you. And because of what happened, he's able to share that, and it's able to encourage people. And it becomes even better because he's able to share, probably, you know, he wanted to incorporate what he's learning, and he's reminded of a verse in Psalms 107. You can turn there with me if you want. It's page 553 in my Bible. Say amen when you have it. Verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That's probably what he shares. And then you can skip around in it, and it says it again. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds of mankind. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. It says that several different times in Psalms 107. And then even again in Psalms 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. 31, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And he says these, and he recites them. And he says, God is good. Thank you. Thank you. And that's his story. That's Jared's story of the axe. But for us, how can we look at this for us? Well, we, a couple weeks ago, had some really good seminars called All About Jesus, and we got excited. I definitely enjoyed them, and they have helped my relationship with Jesus, that I've noticed a difference in the way I do things now, and it's good, and we're on a spiritual high, and we're excited, and we're sharing. and we see God working. And so we're thanking you, God, but something happens. Thank you, but now I've just been to the doctor and I've had to have a test. Or thank you, but I've just applied for this job and I really need it and I don't know how it's going to turn out. Thank you, but I just took my midterms and I don't know how they're going to turn out. Thank you, but. So we've had this high, we've had this revival, and we're thanking him, but now something's happened. And we're back where Jared was, staring at that river. We have two choices. We can be a mildew maker and let doubt and fear and things just swarm over us until we just see everything go down the tube. Or we can choose to thank God. We can choose to trust him. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 will give us the answer on what we're supposed to do. When you have it, say amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is Christ's will for you. I don't think he's saying that it's your will that you maybe are in this situation and suffering, but it's his will that we give thanks. It's his will that we say thank you in all these situations. And there's different ways we can do it. And there's some different things that I would like us to try. So one, I have one for us to do that. And it's in our hymnals in the back. But I totally didn't bring up the hymnal. And I totally forgot the number. Just kidding, it's on there. Ta-da! Wasn't that fast? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to work on memorizing it. But don't worry, I'm not going to give you a quiz. I'm not going to give you a test. You can all obviously tell I'm a teacher, blah, blah, blah. But what we're going to do is we're going to do a call and response type concept. See what's in italics? The slanted part? That's what you guys are going to say. And I'm going to read the first part, and then you guys read what's in italics, okay? It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Alone, he works great marvels. In wisdom, he made the heavens. He laid the earth upon the waters. He made the great lights. The sun to rule the day. The moon and stars to rule the night. He remembered us when we were cast down and rescued us from our enemies. He gives food to all his creatures. Give thanks to the God of heaven. That is Psalms 136. You guys are on a roll. That's Psalms 136. So you can take that and you can print it out, you can write it out, and you can put it on your mirror in your bathroom. And in the mornings, you can go through that and remind yourself, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Give thanks to the God of gods. And you can remind yourself. You can put it in your bedrooms. If you have a long commute, and you can read it, and you can memorize it, and you can be reminded to give thanks, even when it's hard. You can look for other verses, even the verses that we shared, give thanks in all things, for it is Christ's will for us. You can memorize these verses and use them to encourage yourself when you are staring at that sunken axe head and you don't know what the test results will be, and you don't know what the job results will be, or you don't know what the grades are. You can remind yourself with those things. Something else you can do is you can surround yourself with good. Surround yourself with optimistic people, not negative Nancy's or negative Ned's. Surround yourself with people who are constantly looking for the better in this situation, people who are trying to find the good in others. You can listen to music that's uplifting, maybe sticking to a certain genre for a while, whether it's Christian music or whether it's just music that has the upbeat sounds. You can surround yourself with media opportunities that are more uplifting. If there's people who you are friends with on Facebook and they are just negative Nancys, just stop communicating with them for a while in order to look at the axe head that has fallen and stay optimistic. You need support and you need help to do that, and that's what we're here for as a church. So we have to be optimistic. There's negative things in the world. Oh, sure. There's lots of stuff. But if we think about them all the time, it's going to weigh us down, and that axe head will never float. So surround yourself with people. The third thing is one of the things that Abraham did in the story of Abraham and Isaac when he is going towards the mountain to sacrifice his only son, the only thing he's ever really wanted, his son. It says... Ellen White writes about how in those 3 days that he journeyed to the mountain, what he thought about wasn't how he was giving up his son or how he was going to have to kill his son. What he thought about for those 3 days was how God has taken care of his people in the past. He thought about how God had protected his father or how he had brought him out and given him all this wealth, and he was reminded, and that's what he thought about constantly for those 3 days, reminding himself what God has done in the past. And we can do that. And in our bulletins, if you open it up, since there's not very many announcements this week, there's that whole page where it says sermon notes. Notes. No worry, I'm not used to making my students take notes. There's six. But you guys get to. And I have pencils if you need some. Walter, would you help pass them out if people need them? Raise your hand if you need a pencil and he'll give you one. And on that page, we are going to take a moment in the spirit of thanksgiving, in the spirit of remembering how to give thanks in the moment. And I want you guys to write down a minimum of 5 things that you are thankful for right now. 5 things. It can be something you're thankful for, or it can be how God has led in the past, just like a quick little reminder. So 5 things that you were thankful for and that God has done for you. Just take a minute and write some down. Thank you. Maybe later on this afternoon, you can continue the list. I always like to challenge people to write a list of 100 things you're thankful for at Thanksgiving time. Just 100 things. It's not very many if you really think about it. Because it doesn't have to be grandiose things like I'm thankful for, you know, family and friends. You can do it individualized. Say specific people. You can do specific things that you're thankful for. Maybe you just really like mangoes, so put it down there. You can be thankful for mangoes. God likes it when you're thankful for the little things. Maybe you really like beans and rice. It is just your favorite all-time meal. So put down, you're thankful for beans and rice. It's okay to be thankful for the simple, small things in life, just as it's okay to be thankful for the big things. I'm thankful for my education. That's a big thing. But I'm still thankful for apples. It's a good fruit. So I encourage you guys to maybe expand the list. You don't have to go all the way to 100, but later on maybe make it go to 10. Or just keep writing and see how many you can get out before you stop. But it's important when we are faced with those moments when we're like, thank you, but how exactly am I supposed to be continuing on when this has happened, when I've lost the axe head, when the test results aren't back, when the job's in the balance? How are you supposed to do those things? A reminder, refresh, three things. First thing, memorize scripture, put it next to your bed, in your car. His love endures forever, give thanks to the Lord. You can surround yourself with good people, uplifting music, uplifting movies, uplifting books, things that are going to keep you thinking about the positive and how to be thankful. And you can also write down a list and remember the past of how God has led and what you're thankful for with him in the past. So those are the three things on how we can try and remember to be thankful in the situations that life brings. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunities that you have given us. Thank you for the things you have given us and for the joys in life that we have. God, when the moments come and we're staring in the river and the axe head is down at the very bottom of it and we don't know what to do, God, help us to choose to be thankful and to follow you still and to give thanks in all circumstances. Give us strength and courage to do those things that are hard to do. And thank you for bringing us here. Lord, bless these people as they go home and as they go through the week. Help them to remember this sermon and the things that you have told them this morning. Amen.